Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance, they have a very simple motto because they know it's how you live your life. Service and price mean everything to you, thus it means everything to them. It is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. It is Kevin Herr's favorite time of the year, in part because there's nothing going on. That's when you seem to get more excited, when nothing is going on.
Well, not exactly nothing. I mean, I get excited when it like August, when everything starts. You know, you got preseason football, so you got anticipation there. High school practices.
The games don't mean anything.
Well, I know, but at least there's football going on, everybody has the same best chance of getting to the Super Bowl.
Scrimmages mean. No.
Scrimmages mean sometimes whether you become a starter or you're a second team player.
Yeah, that's individual stuff. Yeah. If you win the scrimmage, are you one step closer to what?
Well, if you play well in the scrimmage, you may be a starter come first game.
Hey, you're one step closer to what? Winning the state championship?
Well, you know, it gives you more optimism.
Optimism? Optimism. You're all about optimism?
I'm Mr. Optimism.
Optimism.
Everybody's got an equal chance right now.
There's nothing like being in the stadium and watching it play out before your eyes.
Now, that's fun, too.
Or in the ballpark, watching it play out before your eyes.
No
question.
Or
the arena, and watching it play out before your eyes. Heck with the anticipation. I mean, that's a waste of time. The real deal is the real deal. Like, for example, is it more exciting to you to anticipate Derek Jeter tonight or to actually watch it?
I'll be watching Game of Thrones.
So you're not even going to watch it at all tonight?
I haven't watched it.
You're so anti-Jeter.
No.
If Ramirez were starting from the White Sox, you'd watch?
Nope.
But you voted for him.
Yep.
But you're not going to watch?
Nope.
Well, then your vote shouldn't count.
I can't tell you the last time I watched a Major League Baseball All-Star game or even an NFL Pro Bowl from beginning to end.
Okay, the Pro Bowl is interesting in this regard. The Pro Bowl, the last two Pro Bowls have drawn 11.7 ratings.
That's true.
Are you kidding me? The Pro Bowl? I told Jack Ham that last year, and he said it blew him away
for a meaningless game.
Exactly, it blew him away, and I said, Jack, I said that's the popularity of football. Today, right there in the nutshell. I mean, it means literally nothing. The fans know it means nothing. Yet, here it is. Now, they do it between the NFC-AFC Championship games and the Super Bowl. So that weekend, there's no football, so people want to watch football. I mean, we kid about the number of bowl games. I mean, every talk show host in America talks about, look at all the bowl games and this, that, and the other thing, and they criticize it and they mock it and the whole thing. Here's the problem. People watch. The bowl games get very good ratings. Awesome and incredible? No. Very good? Yeah.
it's good, solid programming for ESPN. They make sure in prime time they've got one every night from December 20th, 21st, whatever it happens to be. I think this year will be December 20th it starts through January 2nd, 3rd, whatever, and then the championship game. I don't know what it is, the 8th or 9th this year, whatever. But you'll have the semifinals on the 31st and then the championship game. The ratings are really good. We can laugh about the Beef O'Brady's Bowl, yet the ratings are good. We can laugh about the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, yet the ratings are good. There may not be a lot of people in the stands, but there are a lot of people who put it on in the background while they're wrapping gifts or finally getting a few minutes to relax from the hubbub of the holidays and things like that, or post-holiday. People have some time off. They sit down. They watch some of the games, whatever. It's amazing. Football is the one sport in this country, while all of this argument's been going on about soccer and so forth, and you know me, I think all those arguments are irrelevant, which drives you nuts. But I football is the one sport that has universal appeal across a wide spectrum of masses. Baseball used to be like that. That's changed over the years. But not, you know, the NBA has huge areas of love for it, especially in urban settings, maybe not so much in rural. Meanwhile, you have baseball. The Midwest in particular loves it. I saw the latest television ratings that came out. The number one rated team in terms of its local broadcast, number one rated team, the Detroit Tigers. Number two, St. Louis Cardinals. Number three, the Pittsburgh Pirates en route. Number four, the Cincinnati Reds. And number five, the Milwaukee Brewers. Those are the five highest rated in terms of the rating points in their local markets. Dodgers' numbers aren't great. Yankees' numbers, which really tailed off dramatically last year, have rebounded and been very, very good this year. It's amazing that you get to the Midwest, in that Midwest area, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, St. Louis, games more popular than ever. I think sports really depends on the taste of the area. Always has. St. Louis is a great, great baseball town. Always has been a great baseball town. The ratings now reflect that when you look at it. Great wrestling area. Love wrestling here. I can tell you right now, you go out to St. Louis, you know, it's like, okay, fine. Yeah. You go to St. Louis and you ask them about Colton Wong, they'll tell you chapter and verse. Ask them about David Taylor, they'll go, I don't know. Each area has their own thing. If I mention David Taylor here, fans here can go on chapter and verse about him. They have no idea who Colton Wong is. He's the Cardinals' second baseman. Actually, he hit a few home runs here recently. He's the guy that got picked off first base by Koji Urahara in the World Series. All right. But when you look at the ratings as to how the ratings have played out, the ratings for Major League Baseball really peaked in the 70s and have had a downward spiral since. World Series ratings perked up when the Yankees in the late 90s, and then you look at the graph, they perk in 2004, 7, and 13. Ironically, the Red Sox each year. Okay. But other than that, it's gone down, down, down. And you look at the ratings of the All-Star game. Woo! It just is a steady slide. Again, the average age of the All-Star viewer last year was 53. But that's okay. I mean, baseball, look, I think baseball is a great game. I love the game. I don't begrudge anybody who loves soccer. I think soccer's fun. Yeah. And the only thing about the only three things about baseball I would change, part of it's the pace. Just follow the rules. All right? The rule is nobody on base. The pitcher has 12 seconds to deliver the ball. Once they get the ball in the glove, 12 seconds. And you should not allow the only time you should allow a batter to get out of the batter's box, the only time it should be allowed, is after they've taken a swing. If it's a miss, you should not be able to leave the batter's box. You're still in the same spot you were in before. Now you're saying 12 seconds seems quick. All right. Now, all right, everyone listen to this closely now. All right. I'm going to stop talking for 12 seconds, and you tell me how long it feels. That's 12 seconds. How long did that feel? Kevin, it felt like an eternity.
It felt like a day to me.
I'm just saying, but that's a good example right there. How long did 12 seconds feel to you? I'm actually asking you.
No, I said it felt like forever to me.
Exactly. I
mean, 12 seconds is an awful long time when you're waiting for something to happen.
Right. The rule is you're supposed to deliver the ball in 12 seconds. I just stopped talking for 12 seconds. Okay? How long did that feel to all of you out there? So don't tell me I'm trying to Speedy Gonzalez the game. 12 seconds, that's actually the rule. All right? That's... It's a lot longer than you think, isn't it? And the only other thing I'd change would be, and I know in this state I would get complete pushback, but I would unify the rules and I'd have the DH in both leagues. Now again, I come from an American League background, thus that's how I feel. And I'm as much a traditionalist as anybody, but I think you have to be smart about what you're doing. You have to make sure that your game reflects what is best for the game. And if that were the case, well, you know, the two most exciting shots in basketball are the dunk and the three-point shot. At one point, college basketball outlawed the dunk. But the three-point shot coming in has totally energized the game. It's the most exciting shot in basketball. Well, except for the ABA, of course. They didn't have a three-point shot. Well, they changed the game. They put the three-point shot in. May toy around at what distance, but the three-point shot's in. Made the game better.
Adding it to high school sure made things better.
Right. In the original rules. Should we traditionally go back to that? And, you know, I mean, tradition says that when they started the game, they didn't have the forward pass. Really? Okay. Hockey. Should we go back to two-line offsides?
Oh, please, no. I just started liking hockey to watch it.
Right. So you have to... So watching the pitcher hit is just a nothing moment in the game. And that's why, again, I know I would get blowback in this state, because this is a National League state with both the Phillies and the Pirates. You're used to seeing National League baseball. And take, for example, last week when Adam Wainwright and Charlie Morton were hooked up in a really great pitcher's duel, and Morton pitched a brilliant game. Ever since Morton has gained control of that curveball, he has really started to come on. He had thrown a shutout. I think he'd given up one hit, maybe two, one hit. And he'd thrown only 84 pitches. But the Pirates loaded the bases with two outs, and his spot was due up. So Clint Hurdle did the right thing, as far as I'm concerned. He pinch hit with Gregory Polanco. Polanco struck out, but that's the way it goes.
See, that's the one thing that, even though you have turned me into being a fan of having the DH in baseball at both the National and American League level sides, I have to admit that decision, that piece of strategy by a manager, I've got a pitcher who's cruising, but I need a run. You know, I got one out and a runner on third. What are my chances of getting a fly ball to the outfield with my pitcher or a pinch hitter? I do like those decisions, and I do like the managers having to make that. And that is the one thing the DH will eliminate. Now, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen enough to make it, to make me want to have it, make me have the pitcher bat every time.
Look, barnyard animals could execute a double switch. That's why I laugh about nationally when I hear about nationally. Well, you hit the double switch. Like, come on. We do that in teener league. What the heck? It'd take a genius to do that. So don't make it seem like they split the atom on a double switch.
The question I always ask, though, is the most athletic player, or usually the best player on a high school baseball team, and sometimes even at a college baseball team, both hitter and fielder, is the pitcher. How does that disappear over time?
Well, let's start with what we watch in our own backyard.
Okay.
All right, Williamsport and State College is the entry level, right? And the league has a DH. Pitchers do not hit in this league.
See, that's always been my question. You know, okay.
Pitchers don't hit in college.
Well, I didn't realize. I honestly didn't realize that.
Pitchers don't hit in college. Pitchers in the lower minors do not hit. Now, I believe in the Eastern League that if you were playing at an American League ballpark, you know, say you're playing at Trenton, for example, which is the Yankees affiliate, you can have the DH.
Yeah, AAA always got confused how they do it.
If they play at Reading or they play at Altoona, I think the pitchers can hit.
My question is, though, Steve, if you had eliminated the DH up and down baseball, all right, this is just a hypothetical, would pitchers hit so poorly as a group? Yeah.
Yes, because they always have.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Babe Ruth hit pretty well, but I mean, I understand that was a different era of baseball. I get that. My only thing is, if you've been hitting all your life, and all of a sudden, then you get to the majors and the DHs, and I can understand why, you know,
Bob
a pitcher
Gibson
wouldn't be able
was
to
a
hit.
Good. Bob Gibson was a good hitter. Don Drysdale was a really good hitter. Wes Farrell was an outstanding hitter. I believe Tom Glavine was a really good hitter. All right, we're running out of guys.
Steve Carlton? I thought Carlton hit pretty well.
Yeah, but see, this all makes my point.
The bar set low, I get that.
But I'm saying, though, we talked about a handful of guys in the history of the game. A handful. History, game, 100-plus years. We just talked about a handful of guys. When I go to a game and Felix Hernandez is pitching, I'm there to, you know, I want to see Felix Hernandez pitch seven innings, just pitching. I don't want the dude lifted in the fifth inning for a pinch hitter. I pay my money to watch David Ortiz hit, and I pay my money to watch Clayton Kershaw pitch. You don't lift Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I'm sorry, it's time to bring in the pinch quarterback. I mean, it's the only sport where sometimes circumstances lift a key player out of the game. NFL, if I want to have Peyton Manning out there on third down and 17, Peyton Manning's out there on third down and 17. Okay? I'm down 5 or 6. Kobe Bryant's still in the game for me. I got still got Sidney Crosby I can turn to. I'm sorry. We had to pinch hit for Felix Hernandez. All you fans, have a good night. We're going to bring in a guy you never heard of.
Do you know who is the pitcher with the most Silver Slugger Awards?
Most Silver Slugger Awards?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sonya Henie's out.
Yeah, no, that would be correct.
Pitcher most Silver Slugger Awards.
Obviously, he would be a National League pitcher.
Yeah, I would guess. Oh, look, we're having EBS stuff in the background.
Right? Yeah, well, there's a couple of thunderstorms popping up. They call it a special weather statement for Montour and Columbia County for a thunderstorm that is nearby.
What's that now?
It is not a thunderstorm watch warning or anything like that. It is a special weather statement from the National Weather Service for a thunderstorm that is in the area of Montour and Columbia counties, Danville, Bloomsburg, Stillwater areas.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, I don't think they've upgraded it yet to a severe thunderstorm yet.
And what will it take for that to happen?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. You'll have to ask the National Weather Service in State College.
Yeah. Well,
right now it's listed as a strong thunderstorm.
Huh. A strong thunderstorm. Okay. Go ahead. Who has the most Silver Sluggers?
Mike Hampton.
Oh, he's good. He could hit it with the Braves and Astros.
Okay. Hit 311 with the Astros in 99. Won it in 2000 with the Mets at 274. Won it in 01 with the Rockies at 291 and then 344 in 02. And then with the Braves in 03. That was his worst year in 03. In 01, he actually had 7 home runs and 16 RBIs. He's won the most Silver Sluggers as a pitcher.
And what was his best year?
Best year would have been 01, first year with the... I'm sorry, yeah, 01, first year with the Rockies. Batting average was a little bit lower. Hit 291, but he had 7 homers and 16 RBIs.
Wow. Pretty impressive.
As far as I can see, he would be a pitcher that won the Silver Slugger with the most home runs. Second most would have been Carlos Zambrano of the Cubs in 06 with 6.
Well, the problem with Zambrano is you're afraid to pitch inside.
Right.
So that's his best year, huh?
That was his best year.
David Ortiz's worst year was 2012 when he had 23 home runs and 60 knocked in 90 games. I'd rather watch him. All right. You hate me, don't you?
No. I just wonder if they hit all the way through their career, would they be better by the time they got to the majors and we wouldn't have the argument?
They did all the other years, and what did it matter?
The dog days of summer are here.
And that means one thing.
When the temperatures go up, the prices come down.
At Sundry Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
If you like it hot, there's the Race Sleek 2014 Optima starting at $20,860 with 0% financing for up to 60 months.
That's hot.
Or the iconic hip hamster Souls
from $14,990.
Let's not forget Kia's award-winning SUV, the 2015 Sereno, with rebates and discounts up to $400,000 limited powertrain warranty. With 85 new vehicles to choose from, the hottest deals on the hottest cars in all of Central PA are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915.
Tax and tax extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash financing and well qualified customers.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. It is Tuesday, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance has a very simple motto. Service and price means something to you, thus it means something to them. The All-Star Game is headed into its 85th version tonight. Now, it's not the 85th year. The All-Star Game began in 1933 as a charity that Arch Ward set up. And, of course, the first MVP is the first guy that hit the home run. That's Babe Ruth in 1933. It's played at Old Comiskey Park in Chicago. It's the 85th version because there was a period of time in order to fill the coffers for the pension fund. They played the second All-Star Game for about, I think, 8 or 9 years they did. So we are to the 85th edition of it tonight at Target Field. Kevin will not watch. He is anti-Derek Jeter.
No.
Thinks the Derek Jeter thing's a sham. It's a shame. You don't want him in the game.
I didn't vote for him.
I mean, you know, he's...
I voted for the best players.
Okay. No offense. Okay. I got two on, and I got two out, and it's the ninth inning. All right? You voted for Ramirez?
I voted for the best players this year.
I would have Derek Jeter at the plate. That's a statement unto itself. If I've got two on and two out, we're losing in the ninth inning.
I want Babe Ruth at the plate if we're going to get that way. I mean,
I'm saying, though, and I have a choice, and my shortstop is coming up. I want that to be Derek Jeter. You're struggling right now because you're trying to think to yourself who you would put up.
No, I'm just saying, if you have anybody, I want Babe Ruth.
I said a shortstop in today's era.
Oh, a shortstop in today's era. Okay.
Okay, for the third time.
Larry Boa. Just kidding.
Boa. I want Derek Jeter up there. Certainly wouldn't want Stephen Drew. But so you won't watch. You voted, but you won't watch.
I probably won't watch, no. I mean, it's not must-see TV for me.
But you voted.
I did vote.
Why did you bother voting then if you weren't going to watch?
I don't know. I thought there might be a chance that I would watch.
And then they didn't. They put Derek Jeter in, and you took your ball and went home?
Quite. Thank you, John Kruk. No, I think part of the problem is my interest in baseball in general fades quite quickly and quite easily. Now, part of it is because my team isn't doing well, but baseball, like I said, fades. Interest for baseball is faded.
You're a front runner.
Okay. Yeah, I won't deny that. No, I can't deny that I am I have fair weather baseball fanism or fan-ish. How's that? I'm baseball fair weather fanish.
No, I can. You know what? I can watch a few innings of a game here and a few innings of a game there, regardless of who's playing.
No, I have Pirates, to be. I have to, but then I have to be invested in every sport I'm watching.
I'll watch the Pirates play the Cardinals. I'll watch the Dodgers, a little bit of the Dodgers and the Padres play, a little bit of the Giants playing the Diamondbacks. I'll watch a little bit of I'll watch a little bit more, obviously, the Red Sox. That's my team. You know, Red Sox play whomever, I'll watch. But, I'll watch a little bit of the Twins play Kansas City once in a while, an inning or two here, an inning or two there. I mean, because, like, watching the game, like, you know, like learning more about the various players across the league. That way, when we do a show like this and we talk trades, you know, one of the co-hosts is throwing darts and the other one at least has seen the guys play.
I'm just waiting for football season. That's my season. I feel. I'm like a lot of fans where I have one particular sport that I follow closely and everything else loosely.
Here's a memo to you.
I'm listening.
This is direct from management.
Okay.
The show goes all year.
I know. Fortunately though, it's not my name on the show, so I don't have to carry things.
I mean, just so you know, like the show's a 365-day thing.
I've heard that.
Right? And then in 2016, when we do this, they're going to give us an extra day. It's going to be 366.
And hopefully, one of those extra days, I'll be talking to you from Rio.
Oh, no. We're really sincerely hoping that, you know, we send you out of the country.
I don't have my passport yet.
Oh, that's easy. All you have to do is go to your courthouse, prothonotary. They'll take care of it.
Right now, I'm so desperate for football, I've watched some Canadian League games.
Canadian League football's interesting. It's interesting.
I don't understand some of it, so I have to... all of a sudden I see a point go on the board and I can't figure out how, and I'm still trying to figure out the rouge and how the rouge works.
If the ball's not returned, you get a point.
Yeah, but doesn't it have to go through the end zone before it goes out of bounds? I'm not quite sure how the rouge works.
No. I punt the ball into the end zone. Dude catches it, you know, doesn't get out of there. Point. No. It's any kick that's not returned out of the end zone is a rouge.
So if you kick it through the end zone, you get a single point.
Okay. You and I are we're tied.
Right. Right.
Okay. I'm on the 20-yard line. Do I kick a field goal on the final play of the game, or do I punt and just have him punt it out of the end zone and get a rouge?
Well, doesn't it work with a field goal too if it's not a successful one? Even if it still goes through the end zone, you still get the rouge on a field goal attempt.
Oh, you'll get the rouge.
See, I find that interesting. I didn't know that until I started watching it this year, that it worked on an unsuccessful field goal as well.
The World Football League had an action point.
Now, I disagree with one of the rules, the interception. Interception down in the end zone is not a rouge point. That would be interesting if that was worth a point.
Maybe we should get the commissioner of the CFL on the show. You can argue that out. That'd be great.
There are some things, though, I do. I like when receivers are allowed to be in motion as long as they don't cross a line of scrimmage. I like that. And my problem with the Arena League is it's not a big enough field. I mean, I know geographically that's the issue, but that's my right, I mean, there's a lot of scoring, there's a lot of action, they're throwing the ball all over the place, but the field just isn't big enough.
I have no interest in the Arena League.
I've tried. I've tried to give it some time.
Yeah, I never gave it time. Never tried.
But I like the Canadian Football League. I like the big field too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
isn't there 12 players? Yeah, there's 12 players on a Canadian team too, right? Or on a field, yeah. On the field.
Yeah.
I like that too. Anytime you get more players on the field is good.
It's a bigger field. You can do it. Plus you have a Rouge.
Something about the Rouge.
Was it Rouge? All right. That's great. So, like, football's your bag, and
I do. I'm a football guy. I've always been.
Okay.
I also like the deeper end zones too. You know how everything in American football, there's always the argument that
365 days show.
You know, in the American football, there's always the argument. Well, when they get down inside the 5-yard line, that really tightens up the patterns. Well, it doesn't do that in the CFL. You still run those great patterns.
Well,
just saying, there's some positives to this. You should watch it.
I've watched the CFL. I can name the teams. BC Lions, Edmonton Eskimos, Calgary Stampeders, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Toronto Argonauts, Hamilton Tiger Cats, Ottawa Rough Riders, Montreal Alouettes. BC Lions, British Columbia Lions. I mean, I can name the teams.
That's good.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I can name teams, dog.
I wish there was more CFL games on American television.
Well, they signed a new deal with ESPN. That helps.
No, they're still only carrying maybe a third.
Third of what?
A third of the games of the season.
Well, they're picking like a game of the week.
Right. Well, it's hard to find a team then if you're only getting a game of the week type of thing, you know? It's like,
then move to Canada.
Beauty, eh?
Well, the best player for the State College Spikes this year is a kid named Rowan Wick, who's hit 12 home runs to lead the league. He's knocked in 32. That leads the league. He's hitting .386, I think. Having a great year. He's from North Vancouver, British Columbia. So his parents showed up the last 6 days from the Pacific Northwest to watch him play. And the father's complaining. He says, we watch the Dodgers, like maybe the Padres sometimes. He says, but we get every Toronto Blue Jays game. He says, oh, my goodness. And I said, that's your country's team. He says, no. I said, but it's your only team. No. He says, I know why. He says, I know why. He says, but no. He says, I can't stand watching their games. Well, I hope your kid doesn't get traded. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're speechless?
Wow.
Come on, Geddy Lee, Bob and Doug McKenzie, most famous Canadian song about Canada ever.
No, the one the McKenzie brothers did about the toque, that was funny.
That's on the same album. That was a Christmas album that they did.
That's fun. I would have gone that direction. All right. Derek Jeter night tonight at the All-Star. Oh, that's right, I forgot.
Jeter night.
You don't want to even recognize he's there. Don't quite understand the bias. Now, the last time Mickey Mantle came up, the All-Star game, place went nuts. Houston, 1968. Yeah. Chance to salute greatness one more time. Some people don't appreciate that.
It's okay that he's there. It's all right. I just didn't vote for him. I get it. I just didn't vote for him.
You're just a hater.
That may be. I just didn't. I understand why he's there. I don't really have a huge problem with him being there. I didn't vote for him to be there. That's not how I envision the All-Star game. But I get why he's there, and it's fine because you know what? He's going to get two innings in the field and in a bat, and then Ramirez will be in.
What is your? At that point, the interest in the game dies.
That's also true. No matter who's playing.
I'm not putting the Ramirez kid down. Okay,
but it doesn't matter who's playing at that point.
But he doesn't have the star quality. All right.
Well, then wouldn't it make more sense if you let Jeter go until like the seventh or eighth inning, and then brought him in a move in the seventh or eighth inning? Because then everybody's going to be waiting for Jeter.
I mean, did John Farrell say he's going to play him two innings?
I don't think he said how long he's going to play him.
So you're just making that up?
No, I'm assuming based on American League or based on All-Star game history. It's usually one at bat, two innings. And then the next player.
What All-Star games have you watched?
Well, I don't remember.
Usually some of the starters go five, six innings.
Well, how many guys are on the roster, though? I don't think you can do that anymore. There's too many people on the roster.
Well, not everybody's going to play.
That's wrong, too. Unless the guy opts out or
that's wrong, too?
Yes. If this is the fans' game, then the fan voted him in. They want to see him play. And if the guy doesn't want to play, that's his issue. But don't play. Why not play everybody?
Why not play everybody? Because, Kevin, the game counts. The game means something.
But I'm just saying, why not play everybody? Everybody's in the All-Star game. I mean, if I'm the lone Houston Astros fan watching this game and there's one guy in there and he doesn't get in the game, I'm going to be ticked off.
Kevin, there are people who have listened to this show for nearly 3 years and think you're ticked off every day. They're trying to figure
that out. That may be true. I was such a happy guy 3 years ago.
No, you weren't. We just get to hear it.
That's right. I forgot you knew me before then, too. I forgot we've had 10 years together in some form or another. You've known me too well.
Oh, my goodness. That was just way too easy. All right. Coming up tomorrow, we'll look back. Tomorrow is, by the way, a sports-free day. There's nothing going on tomorrow. Zero.
More on the CFL.
Zero. Is there a CFL game tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Wednesday, so unlikely. I think they do a couple of Thursday night CFL games.
We'll look it up. Maybe we get somebody on the show.
I'm going to CFL.ca now.
Why don't we get somebody on the show to talk about the Canadian Football League?
I think there's a few Penn Staters we might be able to find that have played in the Canadian Football League recently.
Oh, we know that. Oh, of course they have. Look at Cameron Wake, for goodness sakes, excelling with the Miami Dolphins. He turned his career around when he left the Giants and went to the CFL.
Now the Blue Bomber.
Joe Theismann played in the CFL.
The Blue Bombers and Edmonton play on Thursday, so it's Edmonton-Winnipeg on Thursday. We can talk about that game as we preview it.
Yeah, because you know what's great about that?
The anticipation of the game.
Absolutely, the sense of anticipation. To you, that is the essence of sports, the anticipation of it. I'm really wacky. I actually like the game.